Father, thank you for being so good to us and so gracious and so loving, so kind and so patient. Thank you for being our great God. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior and our Lord. And thank you for tonight and another opportunity to get into your word, spend time with you. Thank you that you are present with us. We ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, teach us and change us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. I don't know how you do with this backdrop. It's a little distracting for me, so I'm glad I'm not looking at it. 2 weeks from tonight, if you heard the announcement on Sunday, 2 weeks from tonight, we are having an afterglow. And what we decided to do is combine the men's and the women's study and then open it up to everybody for an afterglow in the sanctuary. So it's not our normal ladies' study, but we were going to do an afterglow anyway, and so now everybody else is joining us. So we'll have childcare like usual, so you can be aware of that. And then if you're scheduled in there, to please continue to serve in there. Now tonight, our topic is prayer. I think every time I think of that, I think of the song that the line says, okay, it just slipped my mind. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Prayer is a huge topic. There's so much to it, and yet it is so simple, because it is simply talking to God. It's just communicating with Him as we would a friend. It's not complicated, although people have made it complicated. Books have been written that have made it complicated. We probably heard people make it complicated, and we have probably made it complicated for ourselves at times. But it really isn't complicated, because it is simply talking to the Lord, once again, as you would a dear, dear, dear friend. Now, there aren't any hard, fast rules for prayer, but there's lots of guidelines that can help us. And we know that when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," He taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we can learn from that prayer things to include in our prayer, which we always want to include: praise and thanksgiving and worship of who He is, to be reminded of who we're praying to, who we are talking to, and then also to cleanse us, to forgive us, and then to lift our daily needs to Him, to intercede on behalf of others. But whether we do all of those things every time we pray or not, there's no hard, fast rule in that. Or if there is times throughout the day we're praising Him, and then times we're interceding, and times we're thanking, and, you know, we shouldn't get locked into a method or a formula, you know, and not be rigid in that, but you just have conversations with the Lord throughout the day. It tells us to pray without ceasing. And sometimes you can think, well, how do I do that? I can't be on my knees all the time. No, you are in conversation all day with the Lord. You know, sometimes I don't know if I'm talking to myself, talking to the Lord, you know, because you're just so used to talking to Him about, oh, I don't know, should I get this? I don't know, should I, you know, and you're just kind of having that conversation. That's how He wants us to be with Him, to be like we would that dear and loved friend. Now, none of us pray as much as we should. I don't think I need to tell you that. We're all very aware of that. And sometimes we can feel very guilty over that, very, you know, like, oh no, I've got to do better. And we can beat ourselves up because we hear about this person, the way they pray, and that person got up at, you know, 2 a.m. to pray, or, you know, all that. And here I am, you know, not doing any of that. But instead of feeling guilty and instead of beating ourselves up, maybe we should just pray more. Just continue to grow. That's the heater or the air or something. It sounds like a giant up there. But just to continue to grow in our prayer life and not let the fact that we're not praying enough stop us from praying, because it really can. We can just think, oh, it's no use and I just can't do it and I can't make a schedule and I can't, you know, I'm not consistent and all that. Just pray. Just continue to pray. Which, when I sit down, and I've taught on prayer a number of times over the years, and every time I sit down and I think, I don't know how to do this. I would rather just pray than talk about praying. I would rather pray than read a book on prayer. In fact, I've probably only read one book on prayer, because the other one, I don't want to read them. I just want to do it more. But we could study the Lord's Prayer. We could study different prayers in the Bible or the way people prayed in the Bible. We can talk about the fact that we need to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to make our requests known to God. So the supplication, those praying for ourselves, the needs that we have. We could talk about intercession and how we need to intercede on behalf of one another and missionaries and people that we love and the people, the lost and all of that. I mean, there's just so many different aspects of prayer, or to praying in troubled times and the peace that we do forfeit when we don't pray, and then not being anxious, but pray. You just got to pray. Don't think about it. Pray about it. And, you know, there's just so much. It's just so overwhelming to me. And so I've just put together a little potpourri of prayer. Just some things that I've learned, some things that maybe you can learn from, some things to be reminded of, and some things to be encouraged by, and I'm really in no particular order. And the first one is to pray with a clean heart. I think that's really important. The Bible tells us, and Psalm 66 tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I have to make sure I come to the Lord with a clear heart. I'm going to put this down so I can see you over there. I don't want to look at that. With a clean heart. So you ask the Lord to cleanse you, to forgive you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the psalmist goes on, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer, because I have a clean heart. So when I come before the Lord to pray, to spend that time in prayer, it doesn't mean every time we're in the car and we send up a quick prayer, we have to ask for forgiveness first. You know, we should always be walking in a clean heart and having the Lord cleanse us. The promises of God are for those who obey, who love Him and who obey. And for the Lord is a sun and a shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold to those who walk uprightly. We want to walk uprightly and have a clean heart. Then we know that whenever we pray, He hears us. He's attentive to our prayer. I don't want my prayers to be hindered because I'm hiding sin in my heart. I want my prayers answered. So I want to have a clean heart. And then I want to just pray from my heart. Not a formula, not overthink it, not complicate it, but just talk to the Lord from my heart. Not worrying about sentence structure, grammar, not being self-conscious. And I think so many of us are self-conscious in our prayer life, which is why we don't like to pray out loud. Because we are self-conscious thinking, oh, I'm going to fumble and jumble over my words and I'm not very eloquent and I don't know how to put it together. And then when I start putting it together, I forget what I was going to say and what are people going to think, you know, and all of that. Now, some people, I have a few friends who they like to pray out loud all the time. When they're alone, in their quiet time, they pray out loud. That helps them focus. It helps them stay on track to pray out loud. For me, personally, I prefer to pray silently. I prefer to pray just between me and the Lord because I can pray faster, not that I'm in a hurry, but I can get it all out much faster than when I do out loud because I have to think before, while I'm speaking out loud, I'm thinking. I don't think when I'm just talking to him, and he doesn't care. He can translate it. He can put it all together. Now, the fact that I prefer to pray silently does not hinder me from praying out loud, though, obviously. I pray out loud. You hear me pray out loud. But I tell you, I got to think about what I'm praying when I pray out loud. And I do think about now, is that going to make sense? Are they going to follow me at all? I don't ever think about that with the Lord. Lord, are you following me? You know what? He knows. He knows. So don't be self-conscious in your prayer life with the Lord. He knows. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going to say. He knows your motives. He just knows everything. So don't be self-conscious in that. I like what Bill McDonald said. He said, we are all too aware of how we bungle in prayer. We slaughter the rules of grammar, express ourselves inelegantly, and say things that are doctrinal absurdities. I loved that because it is so true. And you know, sometimes you listen to people pray and you're like, that is doctrinally incorrect. You know, they've got God dying on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. You know, I mean, just things. But, you know what they mean. And he knows what we mean. And he said, but this need not discourage us from praying. We have a great high priest who edits and purifies all our communications with the Father. I like that. Jesus edits and purifies our prayers. I like that because, boy, do I can't think and my words get all jumbled and, you know, and it's like, oh, that's not what I meant. He knows. He just translates all of that. So when my prayers reach heaven, your prayers reach heaven, they're perfect. They've gone through Jesus. He knows our hearts and what we mean to say. But I do want to encourage you, when you are praying out loud and praying in a group, to pray from your heart and not be self-conscious. Especially with the women in this in Bible study, you know, where nobody's taking notes or thinking, oh, she said that wrong, or oh, you know, it doesn't matter. Just pray from our hearts, and don't let that ever stop you or hinder you from praying out loud. And when I was a brand new Christian, I was invited, I mean, just a few weeks old in the Lord, and I met two women who were older than me, probably 10 years older than me. They were really old at that time. I think they were 30. I was 20, 21. And they invited me to their little prayer group, and it was the first time I had prayed out loud. I mean, I had just really started praying as a new Christian and praying out loud, and it was great. We sat around a dining room table. The kids were in the other room playing, and we just took turns. And we just said one prayer, and then the next person, and then the next person, and then we talked, and then we prayed, you know? And it was just a good way as a brand new Christian to learn that it's okay. You just talk to the Lord. And I love that, and I love praying in a group. And just as a side note, if you have not been in a prayer group, or if you're not in a prayer group, or if you've never been in a prayer group, I encourage you to pray with other people. Pray with other women. And we can pray things that we would not share. Pray in a group. But we learn from one another. I learned so much from those two women. They had no idea. They were only a few years older than me in the Lord, but they had no idea that I was learning from them. I still learn when I'm praying in a group of women who are prayer warriors. I learn every single time because I think, oh, I would have never thought of that to pray. Oh, I like the way she said that. I like how she formulated that, or how she thought that to even pray. And I grab those things and then use them. So it's a great learning time. Once a month, there's a group of us that meet, and we pray for you, and we pray for the other women in the body. And every time I spend that time in prayer, I am so blessed because I get to pray with other women, and we get to pray about you, about the needs, about these things, and I'm built up and I'm encouraged and I learn and I grow. So if you don't have that, or you've never had that, just grab a friend. I mean, some of you, I know I've talked to some of you, and in fact, one, she calls her friend who lives in Southern California, and they pray together on the phone on the way to work. You know, there's just all kinds of ways that we can do that, but to pray in a group or pray with other people. Then the other thing is to pray effectively. Now, what do I mean by effectively? I mean, I want all my prayers to be effective. I'm praying for these things. How do I get the desire of my heart, of my prayer? How do I have these prayers answered? Now, I can't earn anything from the Lord. I cannot be extra good that day. So when I pray that there's an answer to that prayer, I get an extra blessing or something like that. It doesn't work that way. We cannot earn anything from the Lord. And the Bible teaches that sometimes we have not because we ask not. So we do need to ask and be specific and not just be general, God bless the whole world, or, you know, that kind of a thing. But to be a little more specific in our prayers, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask that you would receive. So he's telling us to ask and ask specifically about things. So I want to pray effectively. I want to pray specifically about needs and things. But the most effective way for us to pray is to learn from Jesus, who prayed this: "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but yours be done." He prayed specifically. You know, he was going to the cross. Let this cup, you know, take me out of this hour that this is upon me. But not my will, yours be done. So we can pray very specific. But when our heart gets to that place where we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. To me, that is the most effective prayer that we can pray and the way to pray. So many times we do not know what to pray or how to pray in certain situations. We know what we want, an illness, we know what we want. We pray, Lord, heal. That's our desire. Heal. Take this, remove this cancer, remove this pain, remove this problem. We want that person to be made well, to be made whole. And we need to pray like that. But at the same time, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I want your will. That's an effective prayer. I know that there's a portion of people who think that's a cop-out prayer, God, to pray for God's will. You know, you believe and you demand kind of a thing. I'll ask specifics, but you release it to his good and his perfect will. Lord, we want this house. We, as far as we know, this is what we're supposed to do. It fits everything in our minds. But, Lord, we don't want to strive. Not our will, but yours be done. And you translate that over to any prayer request, any need that you have in your life. Then, whatever the answer is the desire of our heart. Because we've asked for his good and his perfect will. And we can release and we can trust whatever, if that's a healing or if that's not a healing, if that's buying this house or not buying it, whatever it might be, our desire has changed, our heart's desire. Because sometimes we think we know best, we think we know what we want, but it's so wonderful to be in that place where you just say, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. I want this thing like I haven't wanted anything else. This is what I really want. But Lord, you know, your will be done. A lot of times we don't know what to pray in a certain situation. And the Bible teaches us too that Jesus intercedes. He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So he prays for us. The Holy Spirit also prays for us. And in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit within us, he knows. There are times where we just don't have a clue. We're so baffled by the circumstances, we don't have a clue. Or we can be so heartbroken or in this deep, deep trial or whatever it might be. And the Holy Spirit within us, he makes groanings and those translate into prayers. Jesus knows what they are. We can also ask him to lead our prayers. Lord, I don't know what to pray. Show me what I'm supposed to pray here. Direct my prayers. Have you ever done that where you're just clueless and you don't know and you sit there and all of a sudden, or even in a prayer group and you're praying and you think, why am I praying this? I don't know. He's taking me in this direction here. It's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding your prayers. I was on that phone this afternoon, a friend called and said, I need prayer and I need prayer right now for this situation. I started praying and I honestly thought, why am I praying this? I did not know why I was praying in that way. It just didn't seem to fit. But then I'm hearing her amening the whole time. It was exactly what she needed to hear and have prayed at that time. I love that. He directs our prayers. So many times I don't know what to pray. So that's praying effectively. When we pray, not my will, but yours be done. We surrender our wills over to his. That's praying effectively. Letting him lead and direct and guide our prayers is praying effectively. And also praying scripture, praying the word. It's not only an effective way to pray, but it is his will. He already has it written there. It's already his known will. And I absolutely love that. And the older I get, the more time in prayer I spend praying scripture. Because again, I don't know what to pray. There are so many times I don't know what to pray. I'm not a political person at all. It doesn't interest me. I just have no clue. some of these things that go on in the world, I can't know. It just makes me crazy. So I know that we're supposed to pray for government. We're supposed to pray for the authorities that are over us. So how in the world does a person who doesn't have a clue, how do they pray? I really can't pray specifics because I don't know the specifics. I don't want to know the specifics, but I want to have an effective prayer. Now, a lot of times I will simply pray, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there are a few scriptures, and you can jot these down because you might want to use them. You might have your own favorites that I will pray. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And I turn that into a prayer. Lord, every government leader, everybody in any kind of authority in our nation, in this world, that they would fear you, they would learn to fear you, that they would stand in awe of you, and that you would work in their lives to teach them the fear of the Lord. And, you know, and then your prayer goes on, but at least that the scripture, you pray that scripture, it gets you going in that. Another one that I absolutely love is Isaiah 45:8. And that says, rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. Oh, yes, Lord, would you rain down from heaven your righteousness? Let the skies open and pour your righteousness out over this whole earth, over our nation, over our city, and bring forth your salvation and turn hearts to you. And you know, it just gets you going. I don't know how many of you pray scripture. Are you used to doing that? It just stirs your heart and it gets you going like that. And then a couple of other scriptures I pray for kind of the body of Christ as a whole, or individual people or ministries. Psalm 67:1-2. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. I love that because God be merciful to us and bless us. Don't we need his mercy and his blessing? The body of Christ, leaders in the body, ministries, all of us need. So God, would you just be merciful? Would you bless your people? But not just to be merciful and to bless your people. There's a reason that your way may be known on the earth. Bless them. Show them mercy. That your way may be known. That you may shine forth through their life so that other people will see. So there's more righteousness. That's one way he rains righteousness down, is through his people. One prayer I've been praying for a couple of weeks now for my kids and my grandkids every morning, Psalm 145:8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift my soul to you. And so I turn that around and I say, Lord, cause them, each one, and I name them, to hear your loving kindness this morning. Open their ears so they hear your loving kindness. Help them to trust you today. Teach them to trust you today. Cause them to know the way that they should go today, to know how to walk today. Help them to lift up their soul, their heart, and their mind to you today. And then one that I pray for myself almost every single day for years is Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day long. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, show me your ways. I have my list for today, but half the time I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, show me your ways. Teach me. Lead me. And then for my family, for other people, things that are going on, when people are doing well, and I just don't know what to pray for them, and when people who are not doing well, and I don't know what to pray for them. I mean, most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm supposed to pray for. So you take the scripture, the one in Colossians 1, 9 through 11 is one of my favorite. A few years ago, we went through the book of Colossians, and that since then, that's been almost a daily prayer for also for my family, for loved ones. And that is that you may be filled with the knowledge of God, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So that person that's doing well, that person that isn't doing well, Lord, will you fill them with a knowledge of you, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Open their ears, their eyes today, Lord. Show yourself to them so that they have a knowledge of you, that they would have a walk worthy of you today, that they would present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, that they would set their heart and mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth, that they would be fully pleasing to you in their words, in their actions, in their motives, in all ways today. And that they would be fruitful in every good work. That they would do good works, and then that there would be their fruit would just abound in them, and they would increase in their knowledge of you, and that you would strengthen them with all might according to your glorious power for all patience and perseverance they need. Patience, they need perseverance, Lord, and then fill them with your joy. I love praying these scriptures, and I hope I'm just not going on and on and on, but I want to light a little fire in your heart, so you grab these verses in your quiet time, or you can stick them in your car, and you can be praying for people while you're sowing the word into your heart and into your mind. When my heart is overwhelmed, and when you're going through a very difficult, painful trial, and you don't know what to pray. And sometimes, I'll make a little confession here, sometimes what happens to me when there is such a difficult trial that I am in, when I start praying for that person and I start praying specifics, my mind will jump over to a conversation. And I'll start going off on a trail and have a conversation with them. And I can work myself up into a tizzy. And I'm having a prayer time. I just ridiculous. So I've had to say, okay, I'm bringing it back. And I am just simply praying the word. Praying the word. That's all I can do. I can just pray the word. But it's powerful. It is powerful. It's working in me and it's working in them. That's an effective prayer. When we can pray the scripture into our loved ones and lives like that, because it helps us to know what to pray. We're praying very biblically. We're praying according to His will, because that certainly is His will, any of these scriptures, for anyone. And it is effective. And then we're to pray fervently. Turn to James chapter 5. He gives us an example. James chapter 5, verse 16, in the middle of the verse. It says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Fervent prayer. That praying with passion, praying like you mean it, and praying until you get an answer. Too many times we give up. We just give up. said Elijah prayed until that rain came down. And it tells us in, I think it's first or second Kings, that he was up on Mount Carmel. It had been a drought for many years. And he sat up there and it was bright and blue. And he prayed for rain. And he sent his servant over toward the mountain to look toward the coast. Do you see any clouds? No. And he came back. No. Tells us that he did that seven times. He prayed seven times. That seventh time, the servant came back and said, well, there's a little cloud, looks like a man's hand coming up. And by faith, he said, Ahab, you better get down. It's gonna pour. But he, fervent prayer, he kept praying until he got an answer. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that he prayed three times for this thorn that was in his flesh, that was a physical ailment of his, and his answer from the Lord was no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to remove this. I am not going to heal you because my grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'm going to be glorified through this. So Paul, he got his answer, and he stopped praying. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is you just got to wait. But we need to continue to pray fervently until we get an answer or until we're released from it. Sometimes the Lord can just lift that need or situation or whatever off of your heart, and you feel like, okay, I have all my prayers have been lifted up. And then there are others, and some of you know that you've prayed for years and years and years and years, and you're going to pray until you're face to face with the Lord because that answer hasn't come yet. We're to pray fervently, with passion, with zeal, with endurance, and we are to pray with faith, always praying with faith. Confidence, praying believing, praying expecting. Remember who you're praying to. We forget. We just start praying to the Lord like he's the butcher or the barber or the grocery clerk, like he has no power at all, or like he doesn't care. We are praying to our Heavenly Father. We are praying to the Creator, to the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We're praying to the Great King. We need to be reminded of that, which is why Jesus started that prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, to remind us who we are praying to. That's why I like that. One song we sing, that line, remind me that I come before a king. This is our God who is for us, who loves us, who wants to bless his children. So when we come to him like that, knowing he loves us, he wants to bless us, he's all powerful, you can come with boldness, you can come with confidence. It tells us in Hebrews to boldly come into the throne of grace. We need to boldly come in with confidence. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14, John says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's confidence. We're praying according to his will. We've talked about that, and praying effectively. You're praying scripture, you're praying according to his will. Then we come before our king, we come before our God who wants to answer, who wants to bless. And we can come confidently and boldly knowing that the request that we've laid out before him, he will answer. Again, it may not be the way that we had all laid out. But when we have turned our will over and we've accepted that, then we really have the answer that we wanted. We can come boldly and confidently, praying with faith. And praying with faith is thanking Him in advance for the answer to prayer, whatever it might be, and whenever it might come. Lord, thank You, because I know You hear me, and I know that You are going to answer. And we could go on and on and on and on talking about prayer, but what I want to do is use the rest of the time right now to break into small groups and to share a couple of things, and then to spend time praying. And for those of you who, again, who are not comfortable praying out loud, give it a shot. Try it. Your sisters are for you. And remember that though we fumble our words, He edits them and He puts them all in a beautiful way in that incense right up into the to the throne of grace. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to meet in little groups. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of prayer. Thank You that we can talk to You anytime, any place. We don't have to wait. That You are always there, eager to hear. And we thank You that You are a great King, and that You are a blessing God. And we thank You that when we pray according to Your will, You hear us, Lord. You hear us. You don't ever turn a deaf ear. You hear us. And we can have confidence knowing that when You hear us, You will answer. So thank You. Thank You, Lord, for that. I pray, Father, that we would take these things that we've learned and we'd hide them in our heart. Help us to grow in our prayer lives, each and every one of us, to grow, to be more effective in our prayer life, and to be intercessors on behalf of others. And Lord, now I pray that You would teach us from one another, that we would learn from one another, and that You would lead and guide our time of prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.